Allegiance, please.
Should we hear from her? No, I should read first. Okay.
One announcement on public employee discipline, dismissal, release. Announcement taken in closed session. In one matter involving certificate and employment, the employee agreed to submit a resignation and release of any and all claims in return for the board's agreement to accept a resignation effective June 30th, 2015. The vote was unanimous to approve the agreement. Thank you. Now our student representative to the board, Stephanie. Stephanie?
Was on October 24th. New business. Kids can go on now until November 14th. FFA pumpkins on October 28th. Talent show signups on October 27th through November 7th. Halloween costume on October 31st. Noontime activities on November 6th. Football game on November 7th. And talent show tryouts on November 12th through the 13th. And Senate meeting on November 13th. For Marysville High School report. September 19th, the ASB Cookie Tree Fundraiser was a very profitable event. September 26th, Food Day went incredible. Several clubs this quarter, Orange Nation, small business, and sophomore classes sold out within the first half of the lunch. October 2nd, club pictures were great. Club members came and participated and showed a lot of school spirit. October 6th through October 10th, homecoming week was planned very successfully. The queen was Katrina Staples, and the king was David Duncan. Upcoming events, trunk or treat, the last football game to keep the students participating in safe activities on Halloween. November 3rd to the 14th, the canned food drive is also a class competition. November 20th is the first blood drive of the year. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Next is the McKinney Intermediate Report. How are you? Good. Good to see you.
Hey, at McKinney. So in your report, you have some data, and we will go over some of it, we'll highlight some of it, and then we'll profile what some of our students have been doing in a short McKinney News. Our goals, let's see if I can get this to work. One second, please. There we go. Okay. Our 14-15 action plan goals fall under four basic categories. We are focusing on our academics and instruction, culture and safety, community, and we're working to increase supports for our at-risk students. Well, let's try the next slide. There we go. There's a couple of demographic shifts that I wanted to highlight for you tonight that will show you why we're focusing increasingly on our at-risk students. This year, our free and reduced meal rates are at 88%. That's a 5% increase from last year. And then previous to that, it was a 6% increase. So in the last 2 years, we are up 11% of free and reduced meal rates, which is one indicator of some at-risk students. The second point, our English language learner total student population, we're sitting at 16%. So we're focusing efforts on having documents, newsletters, phone calls, translated for parents. We held our Title I meeting. We had one meeting in Spanish and one in English, trying to get information out to parents. And we're currently working on website translation. Some of the results, you have some more in your packet, but things to highlight. We are currently in year five program improvement. We increased our positive student attendance from 95.7% to 96%, and we're going to shoot for 97% this year as an increase. Out of our total student population of English language learners, 18% of those were reclassified last year, which is significant. And Mr. Jones is going to walk you through some discipline and intervention data and kind of tell you where we're headed in those areas.
Thank you.
Good evening, board members, cabinet members, people in the audience. Last year, we had 944 incidents at McKinney School that required either interventions or discipline of some form or fashion. Of those 944 incidences, we had one expulsion last year. We had 12 that was placed on a suspended expulsion contract. 43 were for out-of-school suspensions, 7 teacher suspensions, and 62 in-house suspensions. Ultimately, when you culminate all of those suspensions out of school, that equals 301 out-of-school suspension days. If you look at the 6-year comparison of McKinney, though, for expelled students as well as suspended expulsion students, you will see that we do have a continuous decline in that data. For the last 2 years, McKinney has flatlined at 1 expulsion per year, the last 2 years, when we originally started with 17. We have also declined in our suspended expulsion contract rates. If you look at where we started and where we are now, last year we did have an increase in our suspended expulsion contracts, but I also look at that as a form of intervention that is allowing us to not expel students from our school site, but as a form of intervention to correct those behaviors and keep them in our schools. This graph here is indicating our 6-year comparison of our suspension rate. This is days of out-of-school suspension per year. As you can see, in 2008, we were up in the 570s, 580s, as far as number of days of suspension in a school year. And we've obviously have declined since then. We did, again, have a spike last year. But you also have to take into consideration, these are not just out-of-school suspension days that we're talking about. In-house suspension, as well as teacher suspension, is included in those suspension days. So those students might be still on our campus, provided work, but it is technically considered a suspension day when they're removed from the classroom instruction. Behavior intervention and training. Essentially, the way that I approach this and our school site approaches behavior and intervention is that it's our training ground. Our students in middle school, as you well know, don't always have the skills to cope with certain situations or know how to handle those situations. So a lot of times we need to train our students on how to deal with those situations on a daily basis as they encounter them. So that is our approach, is that we want them to learn their behavior, learn from it. We want them to correct the behavior and actually build those skills to be able to be productive citizens in the future without losing academic learning time. Here are some current interventions that we do have in place here at McKinney School. We have number of different types of groups that we run during the school day, during lunchtime, based on need. We have social skills group that we run. We plug kids into social skills group. When we start to see that they are having trouble connecting with their peers, or if they are doing things on campus that is a negative type of behavior, we provide them with basic skills. We have multiple bullying groups that indicate kids who are targeted as being bullied, and also those who do bully. Counseling, conflict resolution, anger management. Our PASS program, our PASS officer runs anger management program. It's a six-week course that students are enrolled in and complete outside of the school program, so they're not losing instructional time. One thing I want to highlight is the opportunity class. Last year and for the 6 years prior to this, we've always had in-house suspension. And like I stated earlier, in-house suspension is a program where you remove them from the classroom, place them into another classroom. They're not getting their direct instruction, but they're still completing work. That's still considered a suspension day. So now what we are doing is running opportunity class from 1 to 4 on Fridays. That's outside of the school day, and they are getting reflective type behavior intervention during that time to fix those issues that they, the reason why they got in there in the first place, without taking them out of the instructional classroom. So again, it's not removing them from the classroom where they're missing instructional time, but it's also pulling them outside of the classroom, outside of the school day to intervene. Where are we going? Well, based on our discipline data, we look at our data and we take information from all of our stakeholders, such as parents, surveys, site council meetings, and our students, as well as our discipline data. And we see that PBIS has had a profound impact on multiple sites throughout the school district. It provides a consistency across the campus, just like you would in the classroom, of what your expectations are. It also gets information from all of your key stakeholders. So for us here at McKinney, we are currently starting that transition now of implementing PBIS. And tonight, we're actually going to go ahead and show you guys our three rules that we're going to abide by, which is consistent with Marysville High School. It's respectful, responsible, and healthy. We have a slogan that goes with it, to never give up. And something that we notice within our students is that they lack that perseverance when things get tough. They cave, and we want to build that back up. So always we will end our announcements with McKinney Mustangs, never give up. And our goal is that K through 12 we can have the same three basic rules, kindergarten through 12th grade, so that expectations are clear to all students going all the way through our school system from elementary to Marysville High School. So you guys are the first to see The other piece that we're moving to going into next year is the PLUS program. We see the power of peer-to-peer intervention. Students typically listen to their peers more than they would adults. And so having peers intervene, get information from other students on the campus, collect data and do surveys, and then they help us do program development and change within the school site is one of our next steps in creating a leadership class called the PLUS program. So those are two places in which we are looking to grow into next year. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Ms. Matthews.
Thank you.
Okay, one of the last things we have for you, one of the things that makes McKinney unique is we have our McKinney News. It's a news broadcast that goes out weekly to the students and staff. It was created by a teacher, Mr. Pantoja, and our GATE program. It's used to promote messages, what's going on campus, what's going on in the world, profile. One of the slogans that the Gates students, when they broadcast, it's cool to be gifted, and they do little blurbs or do some interesting things. They do little video montages. So tonight, the newscasters made a special board report for you to watch. It's just a few minutes, and then we'll close.
Hello, board members. I'm Alexi Velasquez.
And I'm Josie Rapp.
With a special edition of the McKinney News.
For a little over a year now, we've anchored the McKinney News.
Every week, we bring important news stories and announcements to students and staff.
Today, we are happy to bring you a special report that will highlight our school's many accomplishments and reasons why McKinney is a great place to go to school.
First, our teachers have worked tirelessly to bridge and implement Common Core into their classrooms. Teachers have infused technology into the lessons with flipped teaching, the interactive use of iPads, and collaboration projects.
Our administration has done an excellent job to provide us with a wide variety of elective options. Our electives include teachers and office assistants, band, sports appreciation, forensics, art, and yearbook. Many of our electives relate technical and career opportunities related to Common Core. For example, recently, our yearbook students participated in a web conference with a Justin's graphic artist and helped design this year's yearbook cover. This was their beautiful creation.
Also, the forensic classes had a guest speaker from Marysville PD, and he demonstrated how to take effective fingerprints and the usefulness of taking such evidence. And lastly, the McKinney News Project has provided safety videos, student conduct videos, and academic messages. There has been an overwhelming positive addition to our school culture.
As you know, the district has adopted a new curriculum. Our math teachers are currently implementing Go Math, and our ELA teachers, along with our science and history teachers, are shifting their curriculum and instruction to more closely match Common Core requirements.
Along with our elective opportunities, our school offers a variety of athletics: volleyball, soccer, girls and boys basketball, wrestling, and track and field. We also offer ACES, after-school tutoring, sports leadership, and grade-level activities like the 6th grade Greek Fair, 7th grade Spirit Day, and 8th grade Field Trip. We also host Innovation Day, where students can express their creativity and their passions.
With all the academics, athletics, and extras offered at McKinney, it is still the staff and teachers that make this a great place to go to school. Our middle school years help prepare us for high school and beyond. But for many of us, it's the best years of school.
Listed a host of activities that we're focused on and goals, but two of them I wanted to just bring to point. We're really focusing on opportunities to build youth leadership and development because we're seeing that they need a broader capacity and supports, and we think that'll help them grow personally and academically. So that is one of our focuses, and then we're also working on school climate and safety. So, all right. And we always invite the board to stop by and visit and walk through.
Thank you. Questions of the board? Mr. Fleur?
I have no question, just comment. It's obvious that you're working very hard there. You're making the education relevant. You came in for the board and you gave us data where we can see how you're doing. Sometimes when people come in front, it's nice to see what they're doing, something a little artsy, but you gave us real data so we have an idea. It's parallels with Marysville High School. We get data so we know, and as a governing board, we need to know how each one of our schools are doing, and you did that. Also, the opportunity class, I taught the first one in the district of Yuba Gardens. Doug Eshman is still using that same concept at Covalod, and it works. Kids need to be taught what they're not taught at home, how to behave, and you guys are doing it, and I commend you for what you're doing at McKinney.
Any other questions? Excellent presentation. Thank you very much. Good to see you. Comments from board members. I think I started that way. I'll start with Mr. Harris tonight. That's a very good one. Thank you. Mr. Danable.
I had an opportunity this week to, last week actually, to sit in on a selection committee. First of all, I'd like to say, Mr. DiGiulio, nice job putting it together. All the candidates came to us with impressive resumes. The questioning was very precise, asking specific questions. You know, I like the idea that Mr. Crawford has started these committee things going. I think we need to take advantage of that whenever we can. We get to meet these people. When it was all said and done, I feel confident that the person that we're recommending this evening for this position, out of all the candidates, is the most qualified. That is me personally speaking. I just know that I enjoyed it. It was very well managed, and it was fair to everyone that solicited that position. Thank you.
Thank you. I made a somewhat of a challenge to a few of our first and second grade teachers and principals in the area, and I got what I deserved. I spent Wednesday and Thursday at Prestige Living in Marysville, and I really learned a lot. It was incredible to see, one sixth grade class, or excuse me, six-year-olds, give a full presentation of Rumpelstiltskin. I've seen a couple other classes spend a couple hours with the elderly just reading books to them. Very, very nice touch, and a very nice way to spend the day and see how amazing a 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds can touch with some of us that are getting up in age. So it was very neat. Mr. Rick.
Just a question. Stephanie, you mentioned a talent show on November 12th and 13th. Where is that at?
The talent show at Lyndhurst. It just says talent show signups on October 27th through the November 7th. And then talent show tryouts on November 12th through the 13th at Lyndhurst,
okay.
I believe, because that's what the Lyndhurst report says.
All right. Whenever it comes to that, I get involved a little bit more than usual.
Mr. Fleury?
Well, we attended our Lions Club helped at several carnivals at Arboga. We're going to do Olifirst in Johnson Park this Wednesday. I went to the one at Edgewater. And each one that we've done already have had quite a group of parents there. They really enjoyed it. Also, the South Yuba meeting that is held on the fourth Thursday at Duke's Diner, they've been doing that for 11 years now. Ryan came last week as one of the guests that I had asked to come. He presented the budget, and many comments were afterwards. It was understandable. He presented where our budget's at, where we have to look in the future. When they got done, we have one of the former board members there, Daisy Reese, and she said that was a very good job, said, knowing I've been involved in the schools for years, she really enjoyed it. Also, we attended the WASC, three of us, at Marysville and Lyndhurst, and then I attended the one that was the exit for Lyndhurst High. And then mentioning the talent, we have our final talent on November 8th at Yuba Gardens. It's the 20 finalists. We'll be competing for $100,000, $750,000, $750,000, $500,000. Also, the organizer of that was Cynthia Pena. She's got all worked with the talent for two different days where they're going to all get together and sing a song, two songs, as the judges deliberate. So if you get a chance, come on November 8th. It's 5 to 10. That's our talent search. Also, I served on the survey committee with Ye, and I commend her for getting that together so quickly. They've got questions that are being put on the site where every one of our employees can employ, look at it, so we get an idea of how we're doing, because surveys, as I work with CSBA, the colleagues in Region 4, and CSBA in general, said if you really want to know how a district's doing, you've got to do a survey, and we're heading for that. It's going to be anonymous, which some people just don't like to have their name known. So you're going to have some people that do, may try to skew it, but we need to know how we're doing. She said that we're going to also do the administrative team so we can kind of look at the district office. How are we doing? And that's the only way we're going to be a great district. And so I commended her for starting that so quickly. Also, as I was reading this and working with my CSBA colleagues, I don't think we've even had a meeting yet to set the goals for this year for Gay, if we're going to roll over to last year or we're going to do this year. But as a board, we need to decide what we're going to do.
Mr. Fleury is to be commended for his, what, two, three terms now with CSBA. It's incredible.
Very worthwhile to be on that.
He travels to Sacramento and represents our community. And I believe Colusin, part of Yuba City now, too, don't you?
I think it's nine areas.
Yeah, nine areas. Well, thank you. Anything else? Jim?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Miller?
No,
Mr. Boom? Okay, that concludes comments. This is the opportunity now for the employee organizations, Marysville Joint Teachers Association. Good evening.
Good evening. I'll give you some handouts when I'm finished, if you don't mind. We have some really upset employees in the district today due to our bargaining yesterday. And I would like to share with you why. Our bargaining team submitted a proposal in writing to your team on May 23rd of last school year. At our June 19th session, after school had let out, we met, and there was no counteroffer at that time. At our September 11th session, your team still had no offer. Yesterday, your team reluctantly responded to our May 23rd proposal. In the morning, your team told us the same thing that was said at the June 19th meeting from last year. If we give you an offer today, it would be overly conservative. That's an unfair labor practice to not come back with a proposal. But we had been waiting. We had been patient. But we lost our patience yesterday. Your team wants us to believe that they are insecure about the details of our budget, and yet you felt secure enough with our budget to give the superintendents a 3.8% retroactive salary increase, the hiring of all the classifieds that have been all the new job positions at the district office. And you felt secure enough in doing those things, secure enough in the budget. I'm not saying any of those things were wrong, but you felt secure enough with your budget to do those things. Our budget includes an increase to the ending fund balance of $2 million per year for the next 3 years. And your team has told us in the past that I think it was 2.75 and then now 2.4, and well, not now, and now half that. What we know is that this year, the district is getting just over 8% more than it got last year. Not having a counteroffer for 5 months seems like a delay tactic. During our caucus, we took a caucus. Your team put together a counteroffer in 20 minutes, knowing that their actions would force us to file for impasse. If they did not give us an offer, we would have to file for impasse. So they came back and they offered us 2% on salary, nothing on benefits. I have been attending your meetings for years now and providing information to you about working conditions, about facilities, issues, about district finances. I have never lied to you. When Mark Allgaier presented to you that your budget was going to be $11 million in the red, your ending fund balance would be $11 million in the red, I told you your balance would increase rather than decrease, and it did increase. And he was $22 million off by the end of that 3 years. When I told you that placing all the superintendent's perks on top of their salary was not going to be cost neutral, that was the truth. It's not cost neutral, and it continues to increase in cost. I've shared with you the debilitating effects of the increases to our health premiums. In a four-year period, teachers went from taking home 67% of their check to 56%. Effectively, our salaries were cut by 11%. Board members who have health insurance and Dr. Todd did not experience that cut because yours are fully paid. So you can't really feel it until you're there. An 11% cut is huge. It's a good example of how the Me Too clause is defective. The teachers would love a Me Too clause that we got the same health insurance that you guys and Dr. Todd get. Regarding our work conditions, I've shared a small part of the burden that is the district's method of implementing Common Core. Hugely increased planning time. Significant increases to our out-of-pocket expense in order to supplement the curriculum. Benchmark assessment issues. Difficulties in acquiring adequate and timely training on the standards, on curriculum, on technology. We're not feeling all that appreciated right now. In a bad year, when we were deficit spending, you were confident enough with our revenue that all employees received a 3.8% increase. Now, while expecting to increase our ending fund balance by $6 million within the next 3 years, we're offered 2%. Mr. Crawford was amazed last time that I was slapping you around. He warned me not to bite the hand that feeds me. He apologized and explained that it was simply a phrase from his childhood. Well, now the teachers feel slapped around. We've been slapped again. Over the years of attending these meetings, I've heard high praise for the numerous positions in our district. And it's true that most of the positions in this district make it run more smoothly, or in some way make the district a more pleasant place. Buses help improve attendance. Nutritional services helps feed students who otherwise might not eat. Facilities, maintenance, grounds, custodial, technology, they all help improve the quality of what we're doing, what we have, where we work. Teachers, however, teach. Our primary mission, this district's primary mission, is to teach, to educate the students. Having a teacher is the only minimum requirement you need to achieve that mission. Up on the screen, I have some more information to share with you. They say that where you put your money, how much of it you put where, shows your priorities. I have some data. It's from EdData, which is operated through a partnership with the California Department of Education, EdSource, and the Fiscal Crisis and Management Assistant Team, otherwise known as FICMAT. FICMAT's California School Information Services hosts and maintains the website. This site takes all the data that districts around the state send in to the Department of Education, and they run all kinds of various comparisons. This particular comparison is something I'll zoom in. You don't have to read that tiny writing. Is telling in our district. So zooming in, you look at certificated teacher salaries. It has unrestricted column, restricted column, and total expense. This is for the year 2012-13. It shows the total amount spent. Then it shows that next set is dollars per student spent by the district. It doesn't necessarily mean, well, let me back up. This district spent in 2012-13 $3,336 per student. The statewide average for unified school districts is $3,424. So the percent of average for a unified school district is 97%. What that means in a nutshell is that the district spent 3% less on salaries than the average unified school district for teachers. The excuse we've heard in the past is, well, we live in Yuba County. Of course you're going to make less than the state average. So historically, that shows back in 07-08, 92% of the average. We were behind by 8%. Actually, let me make something clear. It's not a matter of what the salary is so much. When you look at how much is spent on salary, it might be the number of teachers. The amount you spend on salary for teachers would increase if you increased our pay. It would increase if you hired more of us, keeping the pay the same. And over the past, I believe it's 6 years, the number of FTEs has decreased by, in our unit, has decreased by about 16%. That is not the same percent of enrollment decrease. Just means that we have more work. And because of that decrease, you pay less on salaries. It's also a factor of number of students. So if you have more students and the same number of teachers, then you're paying less per student. Does this make sense? Does anybody? Because it's a key important thing for you to understand in order to understand the rest of these slides. Okay. So they don't just have teacher salaries on there. This is what you paid in the same year, or over the same years, but this particular one on top for the 2012-13. For what's the classification is classified supervisors and administrator salaries. I put in yellow some of the ones that stood out to me as something I'd heard of having in this district. business managers, controllers, directors, chief accountants, supervisors, purchasing agents, site administrators, assistant superintendents, and superintendents, include stipends of governing board members and personnel commission. So during that same time, the classified administrators, supervisors, were paid more than average, or the district spent more than average on them, 31% more in 2012-2013 than the California average. Classified support salaries includes transportation, food services, maintenance operations, custodians. There, I don't know why there would be a drop in 11-12 except that maybe that was a big layoff year. But in salaries, it's been above the state average that you've been paying for these personnel. In 2012-2013, you were paying 39% more than the California average for those salaries. Doesn't mean you paid each one individual a lot. Could mean that. Not necessarily. It could mean that you just had a whole lot of them in your employ. So this one includes several other groups. The 100% line is the state average. The bright yellow bar is teachers. We have been always under the bar. Your certificated administrators are the red bar. Those would be site principals, certificated site principals. They're the closest thing to us as far as average. Classified support is the green bar. Classified supervisors and administrators are the purple bar. Clerical, tech, and office is the light blue. This shows a district's priorities, where they put their funding. I have, unfortunately, a low ink printer and was only able to print out two copies of this in color. And you can see by this slide how important having it in color is. So I'll provide those both to you. And I hope that somebody can make a color copy for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Fleury, did you have a comment? No? Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association. Association of Management Confidential Employees Supervisor Union. There's no public comment cards. Superintendent's report, Dr. Todd.
Thank you very much. I have a number of items, but I think I'm going to jump to one that I think is probably the most important for a number of folks in the audience, and that is the fact that I have asked the principals from our two comprehensive high schools that I affectionately call survivors of a WASC study review last week to come and share with you some of the insights and some of the areas of strength and where they look to be going in the next few years, and certainly we want to hear directly from them. So if I just go alphabetically, it would be Lyndhurst. So Mr. Eckert is here.
Good evening. And it's not the end of a ride, but unless you've gone through a full WASC accreditation, there really isn't a good descriptor or metaphor to come up with. And for those of you that know me, I'm really good with metaphors, and I'm struggling with this one. It's a very intensive process. As a number of you know, you had the opportunity, whether it be at Lyndhurst High School or at Marysville High School, to meet with visiting committee chairs and the committees entirely, given an explanation of what the WASP process is. The short answer to that is it is our lifeblood. It is what we live and die by, and we mean that because an accreditation status is required for college entrance to a UC or CSU. This is not just an arbitrary, you know, we're going to come in, kick the tires, see how things go, and move on. When a WASP committee comes in and reviews your self-study, whether it be after 6 years, after 3 years, after 2 years, after 1 year, it's about how ready is the school, are the teachers, is the district to send the kids on. Every WASC visit, every WASC committee has 5 focus groups. And for Lyndhurst High School, what they do, and for all high schools, is they come in, and the document that you received a number of weeks ago is the full compilation of both Lyndhurst High School and Marysville High School, respectively, in these certain particular areas. The short way to put the WASC, another way to put the WASC, is it's like an audit. They come in, they see what you have read or what you have written, and they come in to validate it. If you say you paint the walls blue, sorry, that's just an easy example, and they want to come in and look and see if the walls are blue. If the walls aren't blue, they're going to say, well, this is what you said, but you don't do it. So in the area of governance, vision, purpose, leadership, staff, and resources, okay, areas to celebrate that they found, what Lyndhurst High School and the district, this one actually is attached to the board as well, we address the social emotional needs of the student population. The teachers are ready to provide leadership. Focus on academic and career-oriented programming are all areas to celebrate under organization. Areas to focus on. These are things they saw as areas of opportunity. Okay. Taking more steps to mobilize instructional practices. Develop a 5-year plan with specific achievable steps to obtain goals. And professional development that focuses on the California standards for the teaching profession and the accompanying rubrics. Okay, that was for the organization and governance piece. The next group was the area of curriculum. They came in, took a look at our curriculum and how we handle it. Areas that they felt to celebrate. Lyndhurst High School has a dedicated staff. It supports its students with a variety of levels of courses and strong programs. They had high marks and words to say for our EL program and our special ed program. They indicated that they recognize that there is a tremendous amount of support procedures and programs out there for them. Areas of focus, okay? A lack of coherence between SLOs, school learning outcomes, curriculum, skills taught, and teaching standards. They felt there was a bit of a disconnect there. Self-study lacks a specific plan on how to grow in all curricular areas. And a lack of collaboration time to provide time to shift curriculum to the Common Core state standards, okay? This is all information gathered not only by the report, but also they went and spoke with teachers, staff members, students, and administrators throughout the last Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. In the area of instruction, they found areas to celebrate, targeted instruction provided to ELD students, the use of district benchmarks to drive collaborative discussions school-wide, areas that they felt we needed to focus on, rigorous instruction for all students. Relevance of instruction and curricular areas needed to be addressed repeatedly with students, and the action plan did not sufficiently address the Common Core transition. For assessment and accountability, there are areas to celebrate. The district benchmarks in ELA and math to help monitor student achievement. Students experience a variety of assessment forms based on courses, and then minimum days and work days are built into the calendar for collaboration. Areas to work on, development, site-based interim assessments within courses, more regular structure collaboration time, and focus with a focus on instructional practices that support attainment of standards rather than curriculum. The school culture and support for students' growth, personal and academic growth. Where they found areas to celebrate for us, of note, student success is celebrated in a variety of ways. Our struggling students are supported in a variety of different ways, Students and teachers want to be at Lyndhurst High School. Students feel very supported by their teachers. Areas of focus, parental involvement. The teachers want more time for collaboration. And extremes in the classroom temperature make it difficult to create a positive learning environment. These are all areas in which they found that we need to focus on. This last piece, okay, this is our mandate, okay? The critical areas of focus, those are the pieces whenever we get our next, whatever our accreditation status is, however many years it are, the next committee to come in is going to look to see, did we address what they felt were our areas of focus? This is not something that we can disregard. This is not something that we can dismiss, okay? It's a good hard look at what we do. Sometimes it hurts, sometimes you celebrate. But the one thing we can't do and the one thing we won't do is make excuses. This is our mandate, this is what we will follow. They found critical areas for us to work on. Structure collaboration time to improve curriculum and instruction to develop rigorous and relevant lessons. California standards for the teaching profession should be actively implemented to improve instruction. Strategic plan lacks sufficient detail to move deliberately towards identified goals. And facility issues such as the HVAC make effective instruction and student focus overly difficult to maintain. Those are our mandates. Some of those are within our control on a site level. Some of those aren't. It is a district-wide mandate for us. So we will work together, as we always have, in a timeline that we can manage. Celebrate areas, okay? School-wide, across the board. Strong culture of nurturing and caring for students. Our staff works very well together. There's a very strong focus on meeting the needs of academically challenged students. Okay? Those are the areas that were absolutely resounding throughout. It's been a huge process, and Jim was there on Wednesday when they reported it out, and I think he stayed afterwards. My statement at about 3:30 was, congratulations, guys. We just went through our WASC. We're going to have to take some time to process it a little bit. You have in front of you the visiting team's full report, so you can please read that. That is our charge and our mandate that we will be addressing. The next WASC started last Wednesday at 3:30, okay? It's not about waiting for the next timeline. It's about looking how we need to improve, where we need to improve, and sometimes it's really nice to have an outsider's perspective because you don't get clouded by, well, it's just, or well, maybe this, okay? These are people who don't know us. These are people who have no issues. These are people that are educators, teachers, principals, superintendents, say, okay, this is what will make you better. You're good, this will make you better. Questions?
Questions.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
And Mr. Eckert is correct when he says they start the minute the report is handed to them. So they'll now begin to pull their committees back together and they'll start developing the plans and talking about what they need to do and to make this an even better school. So thank you, Mr. Eckert. Mr. Cena is now here to talk about the WASC report for Marysville High School.
Okay, well, tonight, first of all, we figured that you guys would rather be watching Jake Peavy pitch in tonight rather than listening to us speak. But I understand it's 7-0. The Royals are ahead in the bottom of the third inning. So we're looking forward to a game 7. Okay, as Bob said, a lot of it's an overlap. And first of all, just understanding the process. As Bob said, what WASC is their representatives, their principals, teachers, people from California Department of Ed. They give up their time. It's like doing jury duty. They come and visit our schools. They look at our self-study. You guys have a copy of our self-study. They look at our action plan. Our action plan is included in the self-study. They also look at our progress reports, like what we shared in presentations to the board. They look at surveys, 3 years of surveys of students, staff, and parents. They look at our site plan. They look at direct discussion with board members, those of you who are at our various meetings, district office people, Gay, Jolie, Jamie, Amy. It was a whole bunch of people from the district office that they spoke with. They also talk to our site council members, our parents, our students, our teachers. They have over 100 classroom observations at each school. So, I mean, they're digging in and they're going. They're talking to all students, any students that they actually collect. They randomly pick students and set them down and talk and have discussion. They're talking to each department. They have an hour-long meeting with each department. They have an hour-long meeting with each focus group that Bob outlined. The process is the same at both schools. They talk to all classified staff. They talk to all certified staff, and they talk to. Then they leave, and when they leave, as Bob presented, their team presented an actual PowerPoint. Our team left a draft, and you've got two pieces of paper. One's a thick piece of paper, and the other one is a smaller piece. This is a skeleton. The smaller piece is a skeleton of the focus group report, like what Bob shared at Lyndhurst. And then the last items, like what they have at Lyndhurst, are the strengths that they identify at Marysville High, and also the areas, the critical areas of that we need to work on. The thicker document is a draft that they left us. They are going to finish this on Friday, submit it to the commission. The commission will take our self-study and the visiting committee's study, and they're doing the same thing at Lyndhurst, and then the commission will meet at the end of January and make a decision on what the accreditation term will be for all schools that had a fall visit. So, at Marysville High School, just going real quick here, before they got up and give their presentation, Mr. Fleury went to Lyndhurst's presentation. Before they give a presentation to all the body politic of your school site, they came and visited with us, and this is what they said. This was face-to-face. They said, "We appreciate your school demonstrates that you have capacity to learn and grow and improve. We also recognize and honor that you have a strong culture." They also said, "You have effective relationships here." They appreciated the systemic PBIS program, and they want us to use that as a model to be systemic in academic and all other areas. Systemic throughout departments, and then also at our feeder schools and across to our other high schools and across through our district. So it's not just at the school site. They also said that we have pockets of excellence in collaboration, instruction, and assessment, and that the goal is that instead of pockets of excellence, that we have systemic excellence. So their direction, two things. One, expand our capacity, as I described, vertically, horizontally, in those areas that we described, and that's in their areas to follow up, and make systemic. Those two themes go through the rest of it. First of all, the areas that we are to strengthen, number one, develop a systemic collaboration in all departments and develop strategies to support singleton teachers, teachers who are just teaching the subject by themselves, how to get them collaboration, particularly, say, with our other comprehensive high school or with other schools in the area. And, again, pockets, making it systemic. Another item, administration and staff develop a long-range comprehensive and cohesive staff development plan focused on the following: increasing rigor, curriculum, instruction, academic performance of all students to support the transition of the Common Core and align with the critical school-wide areas for follow-up. Third item, administration and staff develop and utilize a school-wide systemic assessment programs to collect, analyze, and interpret data needed to make decisions about curriculum, teaching practices, staff development, program effectiveness. Each year, we've come before you with a WASP board report. They want it to have more stuff, and they want it presented to more people. So that's our objective. The administration and staff participate in writing an annual progress report. I'm sorry, that's the one I just described to you, that addresses each of the WASP critical areas for follow-up, addresses each section of the action plan, includes steps to satisfy all expectations of WASP, and is shared with all stakeholders. Going back to the original one, it deals particularly with assessment, which we're on way with Illuminate and that progress. Three more. MHS needs to develop a school-wide systemic process, again, used by all departments to leverage data as a means of informing instruction. And staff needs to explore various strategies to increase student voice and exploration in their lessons so instruction is student-centered versus adult-centered. Again,
pockets of excellence, but we want to be systemic. And staff needs to review all non-A through G classes and consider eliminating courses when college prep options are available as a means of increasing rigor. Again, they want us to have a substantive conversation. They're not saying that we need to make changes. They're just saying we would like you to reflect and think on this, which is what a self-study is all about. Okay, now the strengths. They list seven of them. You look on your list of papers there, you'll see at one of the last pages it has seven. We put an asterisk when we put this little PowerPoint together because one key issue that they talked about, they highlighted, and I'm not sure why it isn't in the top seven, but they focused or pointed out that MHS classified staff, custodians, campus security, secretaries, support students by building positive relationships and providing supportive intervention. Their performance is outstanding. It was recognized, and they said that with a full heart. These are hard won, as Bob said. The strengths, when they tell you that these are strengths, they've gone through the process that we described. This isn't just a flippant walk in and superficial, oh, you guys are strong in this. So you take these to heart. Number one, MHS is a safe place for students, staff, and community. Two, MHS has implemented PBIS, which is focused on high behavior expectations. Three, a majority of stakeholders buy into and continually support a shared vision and mission. Four, site leadership ensures that hiring practices are intentional and correlated to the school's vision. Number five, school site leadership engenders trust with all stakeholders. Six, staff has begun increasing content literacy and writing content areas in support of the new Common Core. And seven, there's a strong ROP program that has site, district, parent, and community support. So those are the strengths that they recognize and the areas that we need to improve. And like Bob said and Dr. Todd said, we are starting on that right now. We're working on our action plan as we speak, and we're going to present that as soon as possible, and we're going to we're going to get stakeholders from our leadership team, from all the different areas, and not just at Marysville High, and we're going to build that plan and send it to them and work to improve. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Senior. Questions?
Just a comment.
Yes, sir.
These WASPs are very intense. They put them under a microscope, but I think it also tells a little bit about our district when you look at it. We've got to, as Ryan said, I remember in his interview, he said we have to, for the schools to be successful, we have to give them the tools. And I read both of Lyndhurst and Marysville. On one page, Gary, you listed all the things that have been cut since 08. And I could see, listening to go through with WASC when I met with them, when they looked at that, some of the things that they had mentioned, we had cut. And we were talking tonight about when Inga came up, the budget. And I remember when Mark Allgaier was here, he said, when we get money back, we have to make sure that we start implementing these cuts that were made. Now, I know at Lyndhurst, they brought up the ROTC. When Ryan went to the meeting with Mary Jane's group with the county leaders, that was mentioned, the ROTC. That's a very big thing out there. It really hampered Lyndhurst. But I know that some of the things, and I would hope each board member would read that list of what was cut in Marysville High School and Lyndhurst, because as a board, we have to support these schools to make them successful. And I like the idea they did surveys and that, and I hope as a board, when we do the surveys, we will see our strengths and our weaknesses. That's the only way we're going to get better. And you both did a great job in putting this together. It was a lot of work. It's an amazing amount of work, and I did not realize until I went to both of them this time. You've both done a good job getting that together. But as a governing board, we have to support what you're trying to at all our schools. And so they did look at the high schools, but they also looked at the district. And it was quite an – you guys did a great job. But as a board, we need to be aware of that.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury.
Okay, that was just the first of several. In case you didn't know, Marysville Joint Unified School District went to Wall Street today. Did you know we went on a field trip? No, we didn't. Actually, we stayed here, and we had a great sale this morning for the district's 2014 general obligation refunding bond sale, and Ryan's going to tell you a little bit about the specifics because we were able to do more than we thought we would be able to do today.
Yeah, so essentially what happened was we were able to sell refunding bonds on both the 2006 issuance, which was the Measure H, and the 2008 Measure P, and we put that in the resolution. We didn't think we'd have the market conditions to do that, and because the true interest rate was so low, we were able to do that, and it essentially saved over $4.5 million for taxpayers. So we will not be collecting those taxes to pay off the debt there, and that's in nominal money, and it's about 3.4 in net present value if you look over the course of time. So we more than doubled, more than tripled actually, what we anticipated we would save taxpayers. Again, there's still, you know, a large amount of outstanding debt, and we appreciate all the support we've gotten from the public and the community, but anything we can do to, you know, use the market conditions to reduce that tax bill, you know, we'll continue to pursue. And so it was a better result than we even anticipated, so we're very happy.
That's great.
Thank you. That's great news, and we're really pleased that we're able to do that for our taxpayers. The community day school application, I haven't heard any real feedback from board members, so I'm assuming you've had a chance to look at it, and if you had concerns, you would have given me a call. You still have one last opportunity if you have concerns. I do plan on putting that in the mail to the State Department of Education by Friday. You did receive the two letters of support that will be included with our application from Jim Arnold, the Chief of Probation for Yuba County, and also Dr. Jane Harmon, the Interim President from Yuba Community College. That was in your Friday memo, talking about how they wholeheartedly support this and look forward to an ongoing partnership. Upstairs in the Pupil Services, Student Services Department, we are really excited that we are going to, with the help of Dr. Rudick from Access Eye Healthcare, begin doing some eye, not only screening, but actual eye exams of every single one of our students. They have generously said that over the next period of time that's yet to be determined, they're actually going to go in and start going school by school and making sure that all of our students have an eye exam and are able to access glasses so that they are able to perform better in school and actually, you know, improve reading and all of those things that go along with being able to see better. The fourth item I have is that I did meet with Jim Arnold, again, the Chief Probation Officer, and Teresa Dove from Probation regarding the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant, known as the JAG program. And that grant would provide a school resource officer funding to help reduce the number of truancy days at two targeted schools. One would be Cedar Lane, the other is Linda Elementary. And if they are successful in their grant, it would start March of 2015 and run through December of 2017. So it would be looking at ways to reduce truancy to get those kids to school so that they are receiving the instruction they so desperately need. Mr. Fleury mentioned that we have developed a district satisfaction survey for parents, students, teachers, and support staff, along with district office staff. And Ruta Nelson in the technology department has been working to put those all online, so it will be an easy access, just a click and point, the screen for answering. It's just about 10 questions. Rather broad in nature, but we're hoping that if we see any kind of a spike or a concern in any one of those areas, that we would then follow that up with additional surveys to drill down a little further into the information to see exactly what the true concern is. You'll have hard copies of those surveys in your Friday packet for you to take a look at. We also added a section there saying, were there any additional questions I wished you'd asked? So in case we've overlooked something that is of a serious enough nature or something they really want us to celebrate and say, you know what, we do a really good job with this area, they can certainly put in that response. Yesterday, Tony Vernier and Jed Nunes and Scott Lane went with me, and Greg Stone, the Chief Executive Officer from Peachtree Health, to a number of our sites. We started at Yuba Feather and made our way all the way down to Lyndhurst High School looking at some specific sites. Yuba Feather, Kynoch, Marysville High School. We looked at their dental facility that they have through their ROP program that used to be in existence. And then we went to Linda School and then down finally to Lyndhurst High School, looking at possible space that we could partner with Peachtree in providing some healthcare services for our students and community. Interesting prospect that we might be able to deliver, you know, vision, hearing, some general medical screening along with some mental health services. So Mr. Stone is busy kind of pondering everything we shared with him and trying to see how we would roll this out in a very thoughtful and very structured manner so that we can begin to deliver some services. You know, it still strikes me as incredible that the two schools that are probably closest to Peachtree Clinic, Linda and Lyndhurst High School, have the highest need, and yet they are the ones who are not seeking that medical attention just down the street from where they live. So if we could bring it on campus, I think that would be a real feather in the district's cap. And so as that moves forward, I'll continue to keep you updated on where we are with that status. And then last but not certainly not least, as we move forward with where we are with the local control funding and our LCAP, the local control accountability plan, we are going to be establishing a committee that will be coming together looking at not only the LCAP but the budget for next year. And so we will be doing this in tandem because we think that it's one affects the other very directly. So Ryan and I will be co-sponsoring, co-hosting, co-facilitating, whatever you want to say, this process, and as part of the right around a 22-24 member committee, I would like to see if I have two board members who might want to do that. So I've got Mr. Harris and Mr. Danable.
Oh, that was fast.
Yeah.
Mr. Harris, Mr. Danable.
They like these committees, so it's great that we have folks who want to participate. We are looking at a yet-to-be-determined date in December, and then we'll probably do another one in January after we have a chance to hear what the governor's budget proposal is looking like, and then we'll move forward as additional meetings as we need, probably 3-4 meetings we're looking at right now. So hopefully we'll be able to pull together teachers, all of our bargaining unit representatives, teachers from all three levels, elementary, middle, and high, administrators, district office. We'll have a rather large group to pull together to talk about what we've done really well with our LCAP, what we need to maybe take a second look at, and where we want to, if we want to, I guess, adjust the direction and move forward with making sure we have the adequate funding to build that plan and move forward. So that, surprisingly, is all I have to say tonight. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I just hope we get representation for the LCAP from everyone.
Absolutely. That's yes, it'll be a very important, comprehensive and expansive group.
Thank you. Thank you, folks.
Thank you, McKinney and Marysville.
Super approval of minutes with Mr. Boom absent. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve. I'll second.
So we have a motion by Mr. Harris and a second by Mr. Danable. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Abstain. Mr. Boom abstain. The consent agenda item. Tonight we have some. Before I let you have at it, we are pulling item number 2, the bid award, security system project at various school sites, and the addendum will be added in personnel services under number 3. Any questions with that so far? Okay, then it's a board. A motion? We have a motion to approve. Do I have a second? Second, Mr. Danable. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes unanimously. To the resolution 214, did I miss anything?
New business chapter right there.
Oh, boy, I thought I got to the right page. Excuse board members, attendance at meeting. Request the board approve the resolution to pay Mr. Boom for a missed board meeting on 10/14/14. Do I have a motion of approval?
I'll move to approve.
Mr. Reck has a motion to approve. Do I have a second? And Mr. Danable seconds. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Abstain. Mr. Boom. That's it, folks. Next meeting, we're going to close in a memory, will be November 18th, but Mr. Foy, I'll do mine first. Very sad, Rosetta Larson from Lynnhurst High School, Mr. Rasmussen, and I worked, if you coached there, you knew her because you've seen her every day, clearance forms, everything. She was the activities office director, yeah, but so much more than that. I quoted it in Facebook as just saying to her daughter that you never left the activities office without a smile, and I truly meant that in the 20 years I was there. Hard to believe time goes by so fast and how many eulogies I seem to be delivering lately, but it's far too many as I get older. But I would like to adjourn in her memory, and Mr. Fleury has one himself.
Transportation Department.
Thank you.
That passed away. In fact, one of them is a resignation, and she, her funeral was on Saturday. It was Diane Riddle. Another one was Mary Petlock Murphy, who was a bus driver from the Hills. They said in transportation, Diane Riddle went above and beyond doing her job. They said she was the first one to work. She was one of the last ones to leave, and she took that as an exceptional employee. She was a dispatcher, and they said it was a tremendous loss. Mary Petlock Murphy, they said, was a bus driver. In the fact, when they got a referral from her, from a student that was misbehaving, they got on it immediately. Said when she sent a referral in, they knew it was serious. They're very sad out there, and so I would like to close in the memory of these two exceptional employees that we had.
So, in memory of those three excellent employees, I adjourn this meeting.